Generation Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday and welcome to Herspiration Happy Hour.
Episode 9. You know what, y'all? We are rolling with these. And you know what? So let me just say this before we get to some real introductions. You know, if you are tuning in and you have not missed a single episode every week that we've been dropping, all of these that we've been dropping are really bonuses. Technically, we still plan to, you know, post our podcast the first and third Wednesdays of every month.
Mm-hmm.
If that's going to happen, I don't know. We're just kind of having fun with it. We hope you're having fun with it. And so, happy Wednesday, and I'm glad you're, you know, open to wind down with us. And mm-hmm. So with that, this is your unapologetic diva, Dr. G.
This is Cortina Peters, the girlfriend therapist.
And this is Louisa Harrell, Radio Red, and let's get into our drink. So today, our drink is called Grape Expectations. Yeah, we have a lot of expectations. So, how you make that drink? I'm sorry. You use sweet vanilla liqueur and grape juice. And our mocktail is just ocean spray cran grape juice. And you garnish both with frozen green and red grapes. So it's a really simple drink, but it's pretty good. It's really simple. Sometimes you got to keep things simple, especially when you're trying to work and do things for yourself.
Yes.
Right.
A simple little temple.
Grape Expectations. What inspired that drink today?
Well, because we're going to be talking about investing in your own greatness. And how do you do that? What steps to take? So that's what the expectation is. And it's grape or grape.
<It's> The grape is great.
Yeah, the grape is great.
Okay.
So, you know what? I don't know why, you know, ladies, first of all, it is Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
It is our time for WCWs, our Working mm-hmm. Women Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And we all mm-hmm. give our crushes for the week. And so, Cortina, you's like, you ready? She's like, look, she got her pen. First of all, you know what? Let me just say this. Something that I just learned on the last episode. Or not this last episode, but a previous episode, that you take notes. You know, you mm-hmm. tell the therapist it's always in the when they always got a pen in hand. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I'm taking notes. You know, like, oh my gosh.
You can't help it because I do the same thing. I'm always taking notes too.
It's so funny that you would say that. Because my WCW is a psychologist.
She's taking notes too, whether you think so or not.
So, my WCW for today is Dr. Joy Bradford, and she is the creator and founder of Therapy for Black Girls.
Oh.
And so, you know how, you know, mental health is not as much as it used to be, but mm-hmm. very what happens to us. We keep it in our family. We don't share. All we do is pray about it. And so I'm so grateful that she created this platform. And this was before the Boris L. Henson Foundation with the whole movement that Taraji was doing. This was pre all of that.
Okay.
And there's a directory that she created. So any Black girl who is looking for therapy, who wants someone who's culturally sensitive and who kind of knows what the Black girl experience is like, a quick directory where all you have to do is type in your zip code and a list of all of the Black therapists in that area will
come. Oh, wow.
And personally, I haven't used it, but I'm listed as a provider on that site.
Wow.
And I've gotten probably 5 patients just from people going to Therapy for Black Girls. And one of the things that I do, if you come from Therapy for Black Girls, my rate is $150 per hour. I give them a discount if they are referred. If they say, I mean, I want all the listeners on here to be like, ooh, I'm finna tell how I found them.
But don't even try it.
And I think it's absolutely great what she does. And she's the resident psychologist for Oprah Magazine. That's crazy. She's really, really, really good. And she has a cool mental health podcast where they talk about all types of different taboo issues. And I think Dr. Joy is just a great person. I mean, what she's doing is great. So that's my WCW for today.
Oh, thank you.
I know. You know what? First of all, let me just say, if no matter how people find you, even if your rate is set at 150, if you get an influx of people, that still gives you money.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. then at the end of the day, the benefit is that you are changing lives.
Yeah. Right?
Even if you just do it temporarily and say, you know what, it's not for the entire time. It might be for 6 sessions, it's 150. And then, you know, after those 6 sessions, but the main thing is that you give a person the opportunity to have their lives changed
right.
for the better, because you never know where somebody's headspace is at. So yep. I think that is such a great platform to be a part of, and then an even greater platform to have created.
Right.
So yeah. Talk to her for that.
That's amazing. I am crushing on Melanin Realtor, Samantha Johnson. She works for Kelly Williams Preferred Properties. She's so awesome. What she does is, of course, she focuses on helping Black people, and she helps everyone, but she wants everyone to be able to purchase homes. And she works with you from start to finish. She goes with you with closing. She wants to make sure that you have the best experience. She walks you through. May 5th, she did a Zoom and a Facebook Live to help, calm down the stress and frustrations of people who were thinking about buying or who's in the market for buying, but because of what was going on with COVID, what's going on with, you know, the shutting and everything, it's just to help ease your concerns. And she also did it with Brittany Robinson, who is a mortgage loan officer at Navy Federal Credit Union. So they both work together to try to help ease and answer all questions and everything. She's really, really good. She's an awesome realtor. She makes you feel like she's your friend. And it's because she's so sincere and genuine in what she does. She really looks out for everyone. And anyone that buys or, you know, goes through the process and ends up purchasing, she gives them this big key that says Melanin Realtor. She's been giving out shirts that says, I bought my first home during COVID-19. It's so funny. But she's really sweet. So that's Samantha Johnson, the Melanin Realtor. If anybody wants to reach out to her, you can reach her on Facebook at Samantha Johnson.
Okay, that's great. And so not long ago for my WCW, I gave it out to a nurse. So I'm going to stick with mine for this week and, you know, and just, you know, people try to just highlight people who are doing really great things in the community. So this week for me, my WCW is my friend and sister since 7th grade.
Oh.
Who is a nurse practitioner. So she went up the ranks of nursing to, you know, to go and be a medical expert and become a nurse practitioner. So shout out, and my woman crush for this week is Tamika Roundtree. And I just think it's so phenomenal because she's not just that typical nurse practitioner. You know, some people, when they get to a certain level, they stop operating sometimes, you know, to do other things. Yeah. But she's very hands-on. She goes to the nursing home, and, you know, she works with veterans. And
she
also still, like, moonlights with CBS. So I think that all the things that she does, that she gives of herself in her craft, I just think that that is such an inspiration to me, because it's all about looking outside yourself and being selfless.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what, my you know, WCW, you know, Working Women Wednesday, shout out goes to Tamika Roundtree.
Thank you. What area is she in? Because that name sounds really familiar.
She's in Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah, she's in Detroit. You know, this name sounds familiar because she's on the morning coffee.
Oh. Okay.
She's on the morning coffee. You know what? They say if you surround yourself with greatness, you become great.
Yeah.
And so you know, your network is your net worth. So surround yourself with people who can make you feel like you should do better, to better yourself, not just for you, but for your surrounding and being able to be selfless. Would you agree, Cortina?
I absolutely agree. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Show me your friends. I'll show you who you are. I believe that iron sharpens iron. Like, I can't be around a people or a group of people who feel like it's okay just to be stagnant. Like, no movement. You don't have to be super ambitious, but seek to want to better yourself. And it doesn't have to be financially. It can be emotionally. Seeking for more. You know, I don't want to be where I was 10 years ago. I want to be better than where I was, you know? And so that's in mind, body, and spirit. So I do think it's important for you to surround yourself with people who are also going to push you.
Yeah.
But you also can't be afraid of that either. I think that we as a women, and not every woman, but we as a woman become emotional about the paths that our friends take. And sometimes we feel like we're not moving as fast, that we tend to feel some kind of way. A lot of friendships over this particular thing, that in their mind, they need to move like I'm moving. Or I need to move like they do. It's not really, you know, when we talk about investing in your greatness is not tied to somebody else's.
Yeah, it's yours. Right? It's yours.
And so we need to be conscious about the people that we surround ourselves with, the energy that they are giving off. Because sometimes if somebody has the ability to dim your light because theirs is not shining and yours is, you need to let them go, because they should be making sure that as soon as your light starts to dim, they better throw your ass a goddamn light bulb.
Thank you.
Because I'm handing out light bulbs where I'm at.
Yeah. And sometimes people don't know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I remember you said that, Pam, one conversation we were having, and I don't know if I told you this, but you almost made me get like emotional. Because you were like, you know, you're such a light, you know, and I don't ever want to see that go out in you. And I got like, I don't know.
Oh, the inscription in the book.
No, this was before the inscription. That just kind of you know, put it on there.
And that's just who you are, Pam. You just can't help.
Oh, my gosh. Like, it, you know, touched a little soft spot in my heart, because I was like, so oftentimes, you know, some women, and I think not as bad as it used to be, but some women don't know how to give other women compliments.
That's
true. Because in some way, sometimes they feel like, oh no, I got to be center of attention or whatever the hangup is. And I thought that was that small little thing to you probably was just you sharing how you felt. But for me, it meant so much to me. It really did. When you was like, and if I see your light, damn it, I'm going to give you one. Just to even say that, even if that is your mantra for all of your friends, able to say, you know what, there's greatness in you. And even when you may not feel like it, even when you may not see it, I'm going to help you rediscover and find it again. And so I just, that's.
I tell you, it's so strange. I've had some of the worst conversations with friends, and I've actually had it thrown in my face that you choose to do all of those things. It's like, if I'm tired, if I'm stressed out, if I have a right to vent, it doesn't mean that I want to give up. But instead of saying to me, you choose to do all of those things, it's like, all of these things have gotten me to where I'm at.
Right.
All of these things that are, to me, are working holistically in my purpose. There are different things, but they're tied together. Right. So I'm not just out here willy-dillying, saying, let me just be a voice for something. I'm an advocate, because there are so many, I would say, women who don't give each other enough of a arm up that people don't even know it or recognize it when it's given to them.
Right. Yeah, why is it so hard for us to crown each other? Why is it so hard for us to do that? And I don't think that some people do it intentionally. Some do. But I don't think some people are doing it intentionally. I just think they just don't understand what they're doing. And it's unfortunate that we have become so closed in that we feel like we can't help each other, or we can't lift each other up without feeling less than.
Part of it, I think, is because of upbringing, too. You got to look at the dysfunction of the family. You know, because sometimes you have women or girls who are growing up and their parents or their mom specifically made them feel like it was a competition or a contest. So when you grew up as a little girl and that's in your mind, there's no one to teach you that there's a different way until you meet somebody who shifts your thinking. So until your thinking has been shifted, they don't see another way. Yeah. And so sometimes that's how it comes out.
Well, I used to always... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just...
No, I used to always, when I used to post... I used to always say crown on ladies. So I'm going to start back saying that because it's a reminder and it's for the men too, but of course I'm a lady and I want to let my ladies know they're wonderful.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say crown on to you. And it's not that you have to be arrogant. It's just to walk in your queendom, walk in your goddessness, walk in your woman, your feminine. You have to be that walk. Sometimes you have to walk for others. So, yeah, you gotta do it.
So let me ask you, ladies, what does it mean to invest in your greatness? What does that mean to you when you hear that? What does that mean to you?
For me, investing in my greatness is not just me, because a lot of times when you say invest, people think career, they think money. Yeah. I think on a larger scale, in a sense of I'm investing in every aspect of me and the greatness that's untapped inside of me, the depth of my very being. What is it that I need to pull out? So what is it that I need to give to me? I mean, I'm investing in me in order for my greatness to shine through. So is that patience? Is that time? Is that more love? What are these things I need to put back in me so that I can produce the greatness that's inside? So that's what investing into your greatness for me is.
Okay, really quick, what about for you, Cortina? I mean, Cortina, Louisa.
Cortina basically answered the question because, but that's how, and it's true, the way she answered it is kind of how I feel. It is how I feel.
So you know what, let's start, let's welcome our guest for today.
Okay.
So we're gonna bring her on, and so she is a publicist out here doing really great things. And well, did I lose her? Allie?
Oh.
Hi, Allie.
Hey, it's Allie.
Hello.
How are you?
I don't know if she can hear me or if I can hear her. We don't hear her. Allie.
Oh, we lost her.
Uh oh. Can't hear. I know she's there. We see her. Okay, well, you know what? Louisa, hopefully she pops in any second now. What to you? You were saying that it's basically the same thing that...
Yeah, and I had to learn this because sometimes along the way we forget that we're important too. We forget that we're not just... who we, you know, our careers or our who we are to other people, or, you know, we forget that we're actually a person, we're a woman. And I forgot that for a long time. And I had to learn how to recognize who I was. Yes, I had to learn how to do that. I'm sorry, y'all. And it took me a long time. So these past, it's 2020. I say these past 4 years for me was the biggest flip of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I made the vow to be better, when I made the vow to do for me, it really like cut on a light in my spirit. It really flickered. So it just ignited something within myself. And when I started to really take the time and ask myself what I want and ask myself what I need and work on the issues I was dealing with personally, I got better. And I started meeting new people and I started networking and I started changing and my attitude started changing and I started to write again and I started to read again and I started to laugh again and I started to be who I used to be and into my womanhood.
Yeah.
So that's there. That helped a lot when I became aware of myself again.
Okay. So for me, I think investing in my greatness, I don't know, it's really, it's listening to my spirit and led by that. I think for me, operating in my purpose, and I recently just did a little bit ago, I came out about talking about living in your purpose. Mm-hmm. And I wrote last year, I wrote a book about the pain that comes along with living in your purpose.
Yeah.
See, when you live in your purpose and you invest in that greatness, it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. And to me, you know, having a thought and acting on it is two different things. That's just like, you know, if you sow seeds of anything, if you don't nurture it, water it, take care of it, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to have anything when it comes to harvest time.
That's true.
You're not going to manifest anything. So to me, in order to invest in your greatness, you know, you're going to have to do the hard work that comes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you do, monetarily and non-monetarily, is an investment. And I think you're right, Martina. People automatically think money when they think invest.
Yeah.
It's not about investment. Because
it could be your time.
My time is my money.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, my effort is my money.
Yeah.
What I think and what comes out of here, that's my money.
Yeah.
Because I've invested in that, into gaining all of that to, you know, to be something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I really try to also help my patients to see when I'm seeing them. You know, once we get to the point where we're addressing the issues that initially brought them to therapy,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times even helping them to see the worth in them, mm-hmm. putting themselves first. Because too often time, you know, before we were anything else, we were a male or a female. We were us.
Yeah.
Before I was a mom, before I was a wife, I had this. And then sometimes we allow our roles to become our total identity.
Yeah.
Like when you become a mom, like that's it. When you become a wife, that's it. Your girlfriend, that's it. You know, no, there's so much more to you. And if you're spending all of your time investing in this marriage or investing in your children, when they go off to college or when the relationship ends,
you're going to be so lost because you don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Right. You haven't spent any time developing you and your greatness. And sometimes years can go by and it's almost like I had this fire, I had this passion, I had this desire, but some way along the line I lost it. And I think what was great about what Pam says, when you have a friend like that who's able to come and, you know, put the wind back in the sail and re-energize you and help you
screw your light bulb in. Just screw it back in a little bit. Yeah.
That's very important. And so I think it's important for women, and I'm going to say especially women and men, because it's important for men too, to have that person in your life that can help you refocus and readjust. And I think, you know, some of which what public relation people do, because if you are putting this image out there and they're helping you to manage your marketing and your relations with how you have, I mean, they are going to be talking to you and say, all right, slow down here, all right, do this, go there, you know. And so for someone to do it as a profession, I'm very curious to have that conversation to figure out, like, you know, what that's about.
Right.
Because my experience with PR, public relations, has only been from a company standpoint, where we had our PR department. You know, they call public relations. Anything that's spoken to the media, it comes from our PR department.
Okay.
But not someone who personally hires a PR person.
I did.
No.
I personally have a PR.
Okay.
I personally have a PR. But you know what's so strange is that I previously, before even having a PR, I previously came from a public affairs bureau.
Oh.
When I was at State Department, all the traveling that I did was for public relations purposes and having the face of, you know, the State Department. I'm gone now, so I don't mind sharing it.
Right. That's cool.
I don't travel anymore. So, but that is that's the thing. But it is interesting when you decide at what phase to invest in yourself enough to get a PR person, a publicist, or a public relation person, I felt like I did enough for myself. I took myself as far away as far. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
I took myself as far up as I could. Like, I had already did my own, I was on podcasts, I was on in magazines, I was on featured on the cover of magazines. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I needed a little more exposure that I didn't know how to get myself.
Okay.
I knew then that let me find a public relations person, and that story in and of itself is a little bit quirky.
So that's the
I have a great publicist.
Yeah, that's what motivated you to help you because you needed more help. That's what it was. Yeah.
It was a different investment in myself that I knew that I needed someone else to understand my brand and get me to my message to the next level. Okay, so. Oh, go ahead.
When I think of a publicist versus a PR person versus a marketing company, I think of all of those very separate, and they might be the same. Mm-hmm. So a publicist, I think they're someone who, and this is just my eyes and I could be totally wrong, someone who promotes your brand to get you recognition. When I think of PR, public relations, I think of almost like lobbying and speaking on your behalf to everybody else. Like, and so I see them very separately and different just based on my own personal experience. And so I'm interested in knowing how our guest defines it or looks at it or differentiates it, or is there a difference? Because I, from my perspective, what I experience in corporate America is very different in the entertainment world. Mm-hmm. So I think more entertainers or people like speakers and stuff like that maybe have publicists, and then companies have PR that go in and let me erase this and let me fix this. And this is what the on behalf of the company.
It's about your voice. It's about it's the message that they want to send out. That's what a lot of public affairs and do. Their public relations, that's what they do. They do a whole, there's a whole different dynamic with that that we're going to talk about, and we're getting ready to bring our guests out now. Our guest today has finally arrived. The thing about internet and technology is that sometimes you have technical difficulties, but we're so glad to have Allie on. Allie is a publicist, and you know, a phenomenal publicist is that. But,
thank you.
You know, at that. But Allie, introduce yourself to the people.
Sure. My name is Allie Opio. I am the owner of Dynamic Public Relations, a public relations firm based in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. I've been in business now since 2007.
Ooh.
Since 2007?
Yeah.
Holy.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. 20-something years. Okay. Hey, that's
13.
Kudos. Thank you. So you know what? Our conversation, we're talking about investing in your greatness today. And so what made you get into the PR field?
Sure. Great question. So after I graduated from Howard in 2005, So I studied broadcast journalism at Howard, and I didn't want to go on air immediately. One, because at that time, going on air, the money wasn't great, and I had responsibilities, I had student loans. It wasn't practical for me to pursue a career on air. So I took the print journalism routes. So I worked for the Afro American newspapers in Washington, D.C. Yes. I was a general assignment reporter there. And what made me start my firm was publicists would solicit me to cover their clients with their pitches, their press releases, their emails to me were horrible. There was a great disconnect between them and the media. And so since I had that journalistic foundation, making that leap from being a journalist to a publicist was seamless because I knew how the media wanted information disseminated to them. So it was easy for me to, quote unquote, shop clients or get the media interested in covering my clients because I spoke their language already.
Mm, okay.
I spoke their language already. So that's what prompted me. And my paycheck was a joke. So monetary motivation, professional fulfillment, those were the contributing factors to me making the leap from being a writer to being a publicist.
Okay. So with that being said, what is your role and what would you say are your responsibilities as a public relations representative or owner of a PR firm?
Sure, great question. So people hire me to get them and their events and their businesses press and media coverage, to get those entities exposure. And that could be via social media, via interviews, et cetera. Basically, I vouch, okay, for them and what they do. I put the stamp that, okay, this is a legitimate entity. And it's an entity that you should care about. And that's my job, to make my clients relevant and interesting.
So piggybacking off of that, because this was a question that I wanted to ask, sure. Is there a difference between a PR person, a marketer or a marketing person, and a publicist? Or are those terms interchangeable? Well, because it sounds like what you said was something that I know that publicists do. So in your PR firm, is that like an all-consuming term? Public relations, or are there specific, okay, well, I'm in PR, but I specialize in getting my clients media coverage, or, you know, I'm PR, but I work on cleaning up images. Like, it helped me with that.
Sure, that's a great question. So people tend to use the term publicist and a PR interchangeably, and I cringe, because there's no such thing as a PR. PR stands for public relations. So if anything, say, you can refer to me as a public relations representative. I prefer publicist, personally.
Okay.
Public, but when people use that term, oh, you're a PR, or I need a PR, I'm like, I don't know what a PR is. I know what a publicist is. I know what a PR representative is. And so our duties, they're interchangeable. And you brought up marketing. And people tend to get public relations, being a publicist, confused with, or they use those terms, marketing and being publicist, interchangeably, and they're not. They're mutually exclusive. Does one complement the other? Yes. Okay. But I don't specialize in marketing. Now, I do provide marketing consulting in terms of you can present something to me and I can give you tips and pointers on how you should market or put that particular entity out there. I do that, yes. Mm-hmm. But I'm not in marketing, if that answers the question.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. I'm still a little confused.
Okay.
So let me just, because the difference with PR, being a PR specialist, and then being a publicist.
It's a public relations specialist and a publicist, it's the same thing, but with being a publicist, you're more focused on the publicity side of things, as in radio, TV, social media, interviews.
Okay.
Public relations focuses more on acting as a resource for your clients.
Like so establish your message.
Exactly.
Protect your messaging that you're putting out. Right?
Exactly. Yes, okay. Exactly. Yes. So a public relations specialist creates messaging on behalf of their clients.
Okay.
And so I do that as well. I do that as well. But the way my career has gone and where it's veered off to, you know, I do more of the interview acquisition than that. That's more on the consultancy side of things.
Okay. Interesting.
Oh, okay. Okay. So because I know you mentioned your journalistic background, is that the only thing in your past experience that prepared you for what you do now? Do you have any other things you can pull from that? Or has that helped you with what you're doing?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I always advise people going into public relations, work in a newsroom first. Learn how the media thinks. Be a writer, be an editor, be a producer, so that you know how the press thinks, so that when it's time for you to present your client to the media, you're able to speak their language and make it appealing to them. Mm-hmm. A lot of publishers that I encounter, they can't write a simple press release. They can't even write a simple 2-sentence email pitch to a writer or a producer.
Oh, wow.
So they just think because they have a large following on social media that makes them qualified to represent people, and it doesn't. There's more to it than that. Sure. So when I came into the industry in 2007, social media wasn't as prominent as it is now. And so I had to depend on the relationships I had established as a journalist, a well-respected journalist, in order to start my business. I already knew reporters on air. I already knew fellow writers. I already knew producers at TV stations, editors at newspapers, nationwide and locally, because I was a journalist. And so I found that to be invaluable. So I always recommend that if you want to pursue a career in public relations, you have to know how the press thinks first, even if it's for 6 months to a year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All you need. It's very easy to make the transition from being a journalist to a publicist. It's harder for a publicist to make the transition from being a publicist to being a journalist. I can't write a story now because my mind is so... When you're writing a news story, you have to be objective. Mm-hmm. Being a publicist, being a public relations representative, you have to be objective. The objective is to present your client in the best possible light. You can't be objective.
Right, right.
If someone's hiring me to be objective, then it's a waste of money. Right. They're hiring me. Exactly. They're hiring me to quote unquote big them up.
Right.
But as a journalist, you have to present things in an objective, unbiased manner.
Right.
And so my mind, it's just, I can't do it. And I attempted to do freelance for a newspaper a couple of years ago. It was very difficult for me to write a story.
Because
I'm so used to writing press releases and media advisories as to where I'm only presenting one side of the story, which is my client.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm. So would that kind of tap a little bit of image consulting, because you're working with what your client will look like to the public in a way?
How they'll be viewed and perceived by the public.
Yeah, okay.
So my job is to try and control that narrative as much as possible.
Okay.
What type of, with all of this, do you pick and choose your patients? Not, I always say patients.
That's that therapist in her. That's the therapist.
Pick and choose your clients, or what type of clients do you represent? Do you represent companies, individuals, movements? Like, what is your clientele look like right now, currently?
Sure. So I would say 99.9% of my clients are referrals. My website is maybe 3-4 years old. I've relied on referrals for years. And so with that being said, I represent all of the above, companies, individual entities. Speaking of movements, it's funny you mention that, because I was retained to do PR for a documentary, the push out, the criminalization of Black girls in schools.
Oh,
that was a whole movement.
Yeah.
You know, hashtag push out. And so I represented that particular movement, so to speak. So it's interesting that you brought that up. I represent entities that I find interesting and intriguing, that I feel the public needs to know about this particular person, this particular business, this particular event. I don't attach my business name to anything that I find questionable and that's going to compromise the integrity of my reputation. My business's reputation, and that's key. A lot of publicists that I've encountered, they take these clients, they don't genuinely believe in that client's mission, and it shows. And they do the clients a great disservice because they're not able to get them the media coverage, the exposure that they desire, because there's a disconnect. And so, right. So when answering your question, if you're not, if whatever it is isn't in line with who I am from a moral perspective, mm-hmm. then I'll politely decline and refer them to someone else or just wish them all the best.
So let me ask this, since you're talking about that.
Sure.
For caution, if someone was interested in getting a publicist, I guess it's two parts. When do you know you need one? That's the first one. But the second one is, what should a person know how to decide on getting, or what to look for in one? Like, what should be some red flag that should say, you know what, you should deter yourself away from this publicist because they're not really genuine, or something of that nature. I'm trying to figure out the best way to do this. How do you know when it's, how do you know how to choose the right PR for you?
Okay, great. So in choosing a publicist, you want to, first of all, you want to make sure that person can write. Ask for writing samples. Do not be afraid to ask for writing samples. And don't be afraid to ask for references. You want to know who that person's worked with before. You want to know how that person works. Because again, you may meet them. They may look nice, they may seem nice, but meeting someone and working with them as it relates to public relations, it's a very intimate relationship. I tell people all the time, once you retain me, whether it's male or female, whether you're married or single, whatever your situation is, we have now entered a relationship. I will be reaching out to you. It could be all hours of the night, depending on the time necessity needed for the campaign. So that's critical. So you have to know how you're going to be able to work with this person, okay? And so, yeah, writing samples, how you're going to work with this person, references. And then how you know you need a publicist is when you within yourself say, I want to get to the next level and I need someone who can give me a realistic roadmap to get there. I'm not a yes man. When people retain me, I'm going to give you the brutal, honest truth. It doesn't come from a place of malice. It just comes from a place of me wanting to give you the best bang for your buck.
Yeah.
I just refuse to, we're all adults here. I refuse to run behind somebody, yes them to death. Because if I'm yesing you to death and it's not good, it reflects poorly on me. Because they're right. going to ask who was the publicist.
Right.
Who are your publicists?
Right.
Oh, such and such. Oh, well, they did you a great disservice because of X, Y, and Z. So you want to look for someone who is going to be candid with you, honest with you, and be straightforward.
So quickly, would you say in that, how competitive then is the market for representing, for, you know, the game to get clients? How competitive is it if it's... people are
wanting
to be really honest, or people not being honest enough, does that make the market more
competitive? Great question. Great. So here's the thing. So a lot of people come to me and they've hired publicists before and they've had horrible stories. They've had horrible experiences where people have taken their money and not done a thing for them. And so I pride myself on the fact that that's never happened to me. I will not take your money if I cannot help you achieve your goals. And so reputation is everything. The Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, Black publicists, we all pretty much know each other or we witnessed our campaigns. And so my reputation precedes me. And so I always tell people, that money that you'll spend, you'll get that money. Once you spend it, you've spent it, but your reputation lasts forever. So in terms of the market, excellence and quality stands out, and it does every time. It does every single time. But in order to accomplish that, you have to be consistent. When people deal with me, they know what they're gonna get from me. They know when they email me 2:00 in the morning, whether it be client, whether it be producer, whether it be a writer, I respond immediately. I'm known for my timely response. consistency is key. And with consistency, you establish a reputation, and that reputation will bring you clients. It's very simple. It's very black and white. There's no gray areas. There's no magic wand that's going to make me the best publicist in the world. No, it's consistency. It's being straightforward. It's being able to produce. And so that's what makes the market competitive. And that's where you, as a publicist, need to stay within that space and be conscious about everything you do. You have to be consistent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, really quick then, we're talking about consistency in your work. What is the average cost? What is the average cost when it comes to hiring a public relations firm or with you? Because you put so much of yourself, your effort, your time. What is like a average cost? Not necessarily your personal cost, because it's different. I'm sure it varies. But what is the average cost?
Well, here's the thing. What I charge now, after having been in business for 13 years, isn't what I was charging when I was first starting out.
Of course.
I did a lot of stuff pro bono because I had to prove to people that I can get the job done.
Yeah.
And so when starting out, you're going to have to do that. You have to prove that you can get things done. And once you've proven that you're an entity that's going to get your clients results, then you can start to, you know, increase your prices slowly but surely.
So how do you know when to make that investment, that real investment in yourself? How do you know that you turn that switch that you said, I'm no longer going to do pro bono, I'm no longer going to, you know, lower my cost. I'm, you know, I am now going to market myself at my work. Where does that line start?
For me, it started when I was getting referrals from big entities and they were looking at me like I was competent enough to get the job done. So if you think I'm competent enough to get the job done and you got
that coin.
I'm gonna charge you accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the confidence came from entities, notable entities, feeling that I was competent enough to get the work done.
Okay.
You were being asked for, you were basically being requested.
One of the things that I saw when I was researching like publicist costs, they were saying that it can range between $2,000 and $10,000 per month, what you're paying. And New York is somewhere around $7,000. That's like the going average per month, regardless of how many jobs you get or whatever, what you're going to be paying. And normally they're on like a retainer. So you're paying them every month $7,000. Like, this is for you to represent me.
Yes, I charge. I work on a monthly retainer basis myself, and so you're absolutely right. Those prices are absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. Prices vary depending on region.
Mm-hmm.
Prices are also different amongst my white female counterpart in D.C. can charge twice as much, and it won't be questioned. That. That is a very interesting topic.
Have you back on that one?
Yes, because I've presented proposals to people, and I have a few Caucasian publicist friends, and we all in this market, we all talk, mm-hmm. and we all bid on the same client. And so I've encountered, well, I know Becky with the good hair. I know what she presented to me. I know that, okay? Mm-hmm. I came behind. My fee might have been slightly lower, but it was still questioned. Hers wasn't, and that's happened several times.
And I'm pretty sure your work and your quality is way exceeds what she's going to give.
But here's the thing. What happens is, and I've experienced amongst our people, is that when Becky with the good hair comes with a proposal, you don't question. When I come around, and my proposal even is a little bit less than hers, you're still questioning whether I'm able to do the work.
To do the
based
job.
On price.
Mm-hmm.
Based on price. And so Becky with the good hair can promise half of what I'm promising. And she can get away with producing less because she's Becky.
Oh yeah,
because she's Becky with the good hair. I have to go above and beyond to prove that the money you spent
is worth it.
Is worth it.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother show, I tell you. Yeah, right there.
It's a whole nother show.
You just gave us another, I don't know if that's on one of our future topics, but we're going to have to explore that one.
We're going to put that on there.
Yes. You know, Becky with the good hair, won't be questioned.
Martina over there already writing.
I don't want to say anymore because this is going to make us a 3-episode show, so I'm just not going to say that because it's a whole lot.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I totally get it. Trust me. Yeah. I 100% get it.
So when it comes to prices and retainers and people say, oh, wow, you're expensive. And I say, hey, this is the years of experience that I have. Mm-hmm. This is my portfolio of work. You're paying for that level of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't come out of college yesterday. Nice. I didn't start my business 2 weeks ago.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm an OG at this, so to speak.
Hey, you better tell.
So if you want that level of expertise, you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
You have to pay for it. So with me, I iron out in my proposal exactly what you are going to pay for in exchange for my monthly retainer. I'm very, very straightforward. These are my guarantees. This is what I can guarantee. This is what I can't guarantee. You want, in retaining a publicist, like I'll circle back to this point. You want to deal with somebody who is incredibly transparent. You should not be in the dark about anything. If you feel like you have to chase behind the person that you gave probably a couple $1,000s to, there's a problem.
So I have a question. So sure. Piggybacking off of that, is it like a general blanket if they're asking for this? If I give them this package, this is what my retainer is. If I give them this package, this is what the retainer is. If they're a high profile entertainer and you know it's going to require more work because they got to be seen more, does the price then go up based on what it is that they're looking for?
Well, here's the thing. Celebrity PR is very easy because they're already a celebrity.
Yeah.
You don't have to work hard. You don't have to work hard to get them exposure because they already have exposure. When you get into the celebrity realm of things, that's different. That's different because the publicist is the conduit between the media and the client. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I can just send an email. Such and such is in town. They want to come on air. They want to do a radio.
Oh, cool.
And at that point, you're just setting up interviews.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? As opposed to an unknown entity convincing a newsroom, convincing a producer, convincing an editor that this unknown entity is worthy of media coverage. That's when you know who's who and what's what.
Oh.
You understand?
Right. Okay.
That's when you know. That's when the real the OGs really stand out.
So you know, before we let you go,
if Beyonce was my client, I mean, what do I have to do? She's my client. It's very easy.
Yeah, probably not.
Beyonce's here. Oh, she can come on. Okay.
It's basically, it brings things back to them, you know, because everybody is all about exposure, you know, that's going to help your brand. So I get that. So, you know, before we start wrapping things up, I do have one thing. What advice would you give to somebody about investing in their greatness in order to grow more? As somebody who does, you know, both and PR and, you know, public relations work and publicist work, what would you recommend or how, you know, for people to step out and say, here's what you need to invest in your greatness?
With doing that, I always recommend make a list of or plan as to when you're retaining a publicist, what you want to accomplish in retaining that publicist, so that you can use that plan as a roadmap to accomplishing those goals. You don't want to go into anything just blindfolded.
Okay.
You want to go into whatever investment you're making with whoever you're giving your money to that's going to help you be greater. You always want to go in with a roadmap and a plan that you can make reference to in case that plan isn't coming to fruition the way you want it to. You always have a point of reference. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way to maximize the money that you spend in order to be great.
Right. So how can people connect with you?
Sure.
Find you, get some, retain some of your work or greatness.
Wonderful. So my website is www.dynamicpublicrelations.com. My email address is Allie@dynamicpublicrelations.net. That's Allie@dynamicpublicrelations.net.
Oh, okay. What about no social media or anything?
Oh, sure, yeah. So Dynamic Public Relations on Instagram, Dynamic Public Relations on Facebook, Dynamic PR Pro on Twitter.
Okay. Well, thank you, Allie, so much for all this information. And
yes.
As somebody who retains a PR, I would really say, depending on what you are choosing to do with your profession and your business, it's great things to invest in or look at investing in and just getting consultation for, because you never know how much bigger you can be, especially if you're a brand and you want to really get yourself out there.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, all right. Thank you so much for coming on. And we're going to have to have
you
back for another discussion.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
So definitely. When it comes to us having conversation about, you know, the inequality pay gap between
Becky and Brenda,
women and Asian women and all races, we're going to have you back on for some conversation.
I would love to join that conversation. Definitely.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
No problem, ladies.
Round of applause. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. All right. So, Louisa, where can people find you?
You can find me at on Facebook at Louisa Harrell and The Blue Phoenix, and you can find me on Instagram at The Blue Phoenix.
And Cortina.
I'm sorry,
The Blue Phoenix Hills. I apologize.
It's been a long day.
Trust me, I know.
It's hump day.
Hey.
You can find me, Cortina Peters, a.k.a. The Girlfriend Therapist. You can find me on Instagram at The Wow Effect, Wow, W-O-W, Effect, E-F-F-E-C-T, 2020. And you can find me on Facebook at Boundless Living Coaching, Counseling, and Consulting.
All right, and this is your girl, Dr. G. You can find me at I Am Dr. P. Gurley on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, all of that, same thing. And it has been phenomenal. Oh, my bad. Let me go back up a little bit. You can find Herspiration.
Yeah, Herspiration, yeah.
At Herspiration Happy Hour on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. This has been a phenomenal episode. First of all, ladies, let me ask this before we go. What was your takeaway from this conversation, having a real life publicist on here?
It was
drop some gems.
So much information. Good information. Then we got clarity from the PR, the publicist, the marketer. We got a lot of, so that was really cool that she, you know, broke it down and helped us understand and to help, you know, it just was a lot of info. I got a lot of information. I learned a lot. I really did.
For me, and that's why I mean, I'm very passionate when it comes to, you know, I don't want to say injustice, but unfairness in mm-hmm. the workplace, and to know mm-hmm. that it's not just in therapy or in right. medical field. It's like everywhere, and for yeah. her to be able and willing yeah. to share with us like what she has experienced, I mean, it's kind of sad for all of us, because we always have to run a little faster and jump a little higher. And we still don't get the recognition, or people still kind of side-eye our ability or our worth. And oftentimes it comes from our people,
yes.
which is the sad part. So I thought that was very interesting, and that she even brought it up, that in all of this great stuff that she does, that's something that, you know, she has had to see as well. So I thought that was interesting that she was comfortable enough to share that.
Yeah, we tend to make people comfortable. It's just in our, we're just so wonderful.
We are.
Yeah, well, I definitely learned a lot. I mean, even having a PR,
yeah,
I've learned a lot. I'm very blessed in that my connection, which was more, I don't know, it was more of a spiritual movement for me to decide on who to select, and it has paid off for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For me, I not only got you, and she was right about one thing, so, and I'll caveat what I'm ready to say with this. A relationship with your publicist becomes very intimate. They learn a lot about you. And I think for me, my publicist, that even when ever stop being publicist and client, I would still have gained a really great friend. And I consider him a friend first and then a publicist second, because, you know, you just have that, you know, somebody, you know, that person that you can just confide in, somebody that knows you, your frustrations, and but at the same time you got business together. It's like, look,
right.
So it can be, you know, a blessing and a curse having both, but you get to learn one another extremely intimately, and they're believing in you should be reciprocated in you believing in them as well.
Yeah.
So, ladies, this has been great. As always, I always enjoy conversations. And you know what? I don't know about y'all, but it seems like every single time we have a conversation, then it turns out we got to be ready to have another conversation.
I know. We got to have a sidebar or something. So much just comes out, you know?
So much really does come out. And you know what? But at the end of the day, I think as long as we love the message that we are putting out, and the rawness in our message and the realness in our message, especially all three of us being, you know, Black women, not that this, what this podcast was built on, but you do have three Black women on here who are very strong and dynamic. And I can relate to what Allie was saying about feeling credible in a world that does not give you credit,
right?
Especially your culture.
Yeah, so it's very unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
That, and that's a conversation that we're definitely going to have when we start talking about colorism. I'm here for it. And until the next time, ladies,
cheers.
Cheers.